Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. My name is Lane Lohman, in case you're listening for the very first time. I'm the son of the founder of this radio ministry, Dr. J. Harold Lohman. And last week and this week, we're featuring Dad's signature sermon titled The Heavenly Porter, and we'll conclude that message today on the program. We're also featuring one of Dad's favorite groups that he played on the program so many, many times over the years, the Gethsemane Quartet. And the song you just heard was recorded, probably one of their first recordings, with Penny and Floyd Andrews and Bobby and Jeannie Johnson and Earl Brewer playing the piano. And then we'll feature another song later in the program, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Thank you for praying for us. I am getting ready to start the camp meeting season this weekend, this last weekend of the month of May. I'm taking a few days off, and then I'll be in revival services the first weekend of the month of June in Smyrna, Georgia. And I hope that you'll pray for us as we're there in revival meetings the first weekend. Then our first camp meeting, Beulah Holiness Camp, June 11 to 21, which will take up most of the month of June. So just pray for us. It'll mean so much. Thank you, Father, for our listening audience, and I pray that the program and the message, The Heavenly Porter, will be a blessing to those who are listening today. Thank you so much for your goodness in our lives, and I pray that you'd be with those who have special needs, physical, financial, whatever they may be. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to us. We need to hear from you. We depend upon our listening audience to keep us on the radio week after week. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 1-800-273-4721. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Thanks so much for considering that. Now to the music by the Gethsemane Quartet, and then the sermon by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Loman.
Have been busy because my porter came back through that car and he said, "Breakfast is served in the dining car." Now I was feeling good physically and spiritually too. I didn't need to push the button and ask for the porter, but if I'd have needed that porter and if I hadn't been feeling good, I could have pushed that button and that porter would have come back and I could have said, "Now, Mr. Porter, I don't feel up to par this morning, and if you don't mind, would you go up and get my breakfast for me and bring it back here to my particular position here in this car?" You see, they got a little slot over there on the window where they bring a table and stick it in that slot and fold it out before you, and there's the table just right there, and he could have brought my breakfast and set it there, and I could have eaten breakfast right there and never gone to the dining car. Well, you say, "Brother Loman, that doesn't have any spiritual application." Oh, yes, it does. Well, bless your heart, brother. If you let the porter take care of you, the book says that he'll spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And, brother, he'll put on that table honey out of the rock and esco grapes out of the master's vineyard. And, brother, spread it with heavenly manna, and you can get fat in your soul, brother, such a partaking of the things the Lord provides for you. And a lot of folks will stand around and wonder how you're getting along so good. good and wonder how you're keeping fat in your soul. Now listen, friend, you can talk about the holiness terminology and the theological expressions all you please and still be dried up and be a spiritual anemic, but you don't have to live like that. Brother, there's enough provisions on the master's table until you can partake and keep fat in your soul and enjoy the blessings of the overflow and graze in the green clover field and enjoy, beloved, everything that he provides for you. And a lot of folks will stand off and wonder how on earth you're making it as easy as you are. Well, brother, that's not too hard to understand. The natural man doth not understand the things of God, neither doth he know them, for they're unto him spiritually discerned. But I'm so glad that the heavenly porter not only gets you on board, he looks after you while you're on board. He takes care of the cleansing ministry after you get on board, and he'll look after you if you let him while you're on board. Hallelujah. We got on up into the edge of Georgia, and that porter came back through that car with a big arm full of pillows. And he stopped where I was sitting, and he said, "Mister, you know," he never had asked me my name. He never had asked me where I'd been or where I was going. And just let me deviate at this point to tell you, friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been, but he's vitally concerned about where you're going. And it doesn't matter whether you live in a ranch style on the boulevard, whether you got stocks and bonds and real estate, or whether you live in a little log cabin down on a country road where you can't get into in the wintertime when the weather gets so bad. The heavenly porter, blessed be God, is concerned not about who you are, where you've been, but he's vitally concerned about where you're going. He'll look after you on the journey. I said yes to that porter. I'd like to have a pillow for my head. It was a long trip, and I thought I could relax and rest a while. And he laid those pillows over on the other seat and fluffed up one of those downy pillows and put it under my head. He said, "Now rest a while if you can, sir." Tears came to my eyes and rolled down across my face. I said, "That's just exactly what the heavenly porter has told me and permitted me to do more than one time."
Yeah.
Just nestle my head on his bosom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And friend, if you've been in the way very long, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
1952 was the darkest year of my Christian experience. I'd been in the business world during the war years. I was in the funeral business. I had two funeral homes and a flower shop. And God permitted every bit of that to be swept away to show me that he wanted me right where I am this morning. I never questioned God. The devil tried to make me feel that God didn't love me for permitting the losses to come. But I had a faithful companion and a little wife that loved the Lord and knew how to take care of things in those treacherous days. I was in a meeting in our hometown, tried to preach one night and got in the brush. I didn't feel like my message got across. And yet God gave us souls. People that know me best know that I'm not an isolationist. I don't preach and slip out the side door and go to my room. I like people. I love people, and I like to make friends. But that night, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was so down. The pressure was heavy. I reached the place where I didn't want to hear the phone ring. I didn't want to pick up my mail. I didn't want anybody to ring the doorbell. I came to the place where I knew why some people commit suicide. That night, Elizabeth and the children came onto the car. I don't believe there's a word spoken all the way home. We put the children to bed. She said, "I'm going to finish my ironing before I go to bed." And I went in and laid down across the bed, as fully clothed as I am right now. And the devil came. And he perched on my bedpost and he said, "Loman, you're a fool. God doesn't love you. If God loved you, he wouldn't have permitted these losses to come. If he loved you, he would not have permitted you to make such a mess trying to preach tonight. He just about had me convinced in those moments that God didn't care. But I stood it as long as I could. And you know, that's the amazing part about our wonderful Lord. He may not come ahead of time, but I've never known him to be a minute late. Just when I need him most, Jesus is near. Always to comfort. Always to cheer. And just when I'd taken all I could, the heavenly porter spoke to me. He said, "Son, lay your head over on my bosom. I got something to tell you." This is what he said. "When thou walkest through the waters, they'll not overflow thee. And through the fires, thou shalt not be burned. I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." I came off that bed, and I began to rejoice. Elizabeth said, "What is it?" I said, "I just heard from heaven, honey." "Listen, friend, I'm so glad that he's promised to take care of us in the hour of existing extremes. And I like his promise that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." But after a while, the porter came back through the train, and I called him. I said, "Mr. Porter, I want to ask you a question." I said, "How far are you going on this trip?" And ladies and gentlemen, I almost didn't stay in my seat. He said, "Sir," he said, "I'm a-going with you to the end of the line." I said, "That's exactly what the heavenly porter told me when I got on board. He'd never leave me nor forsake me, but he'd go with me to the end of the age. I'll be 40 years old in the Lord the 18th of next month." Oh, how I thank God for his presence. How I thank God that he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. The wonderful presence. The nearness of his spirit. But you said, "Brother Woman, how about the storms?" Oh, beloved, hear me. He provides a hiding place. I was in the Midwest some years ago in a meeting, invited out to a fashionable farm home one evening for dinner, and the man that owned that beautiful farm was in the chicken business. He raised chickens, and there was a storm brewing in the west. And out there in that backyard, and the wash area was overlooking the backyard, there was a mother hen pecking away in the sand here, and a brood of baby chicks over here. And all of a sudden, there was a flash of lightning and a clap of thunder. I never had heard it before, and I never heard it since, but I heard that mother hen call her baby chicks. And every one of them ran single file, and when they got near, she lifted her feathered wings. And every one of those little baby chicks got under those feathered wings near to her breast, and when they all got under, she put her wings down. The lady of the house said, "Brother Loman, we're waiting for you." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you'll just have to wait, because what I see right now means more to me than food." And they all came. They said, "What's attracted your attention?" I said, "You see that mother hen out there in the face of this impending storm?" I said, "Every one of her little baby chicks are under those feathered wings for a hiding place. His presence. But after a while, he said to me, and I hastened to close, he said to me finally, he said, "Sir, what's your destination?" I said, "Greensboro, North Carolina." And he stood there for a minute as if he was trying to figure up how far it might be to where I was going. And he said, "You know, you'll soon be home."
Yeah.
Brother Fisher more than one time in recent months. The way has seemed so long. I've never got tired or weary of the way, even though I've gotten tired and weary in the way. Bodies get tired and minds get weary, and you wonder how far it is home. How long? But then the Holy Spirit, the heavenly porter, will whisper, "You'll soon be home. Not too long." And then he says, "Just occupy. Just occupy till it come." We got on over it to High Point, North Carolina, and that was the last stop before home. And I'd already sent a telegram to my wife for her to get somebody to bring the children, and I wanted them to meet me at the station. I lived a lonely life, living out of a suitcase week after week and month after month before my wife was privileged to travel with me. And I was looking forward to that family reunion.
Right.
And when the train pulled into the station, I saw my companion and my children. My little girl saw me first. She said, "There's my daddy." The porter had already picked up my suitcase and taken it to the loading platform. And when I got ready to get off, I reached in my pocket and I got a little larger piece of money than normally I would have given. And when I stepped off, I put it in his hand and I said, "Mr. Porter, I want you to know how much I appreciate you getting me on board this train, and looking after me, and giving me the care you did for all these miles." I said, "This is a little token of appreciation and thanks. I've thought so many times, and I've reached the place anymore, that it's hard for me to ask the Lord for very much. Hard to ask Him for very much. I'm spending most of my time these days trying to catch up on thanks and gratitude and appreciation." Yeah, but you say, "Brother Loman, wonder how long it's going to be till we'll get there. I don't know. And I know the devil gives some of us a battle as to whether or not we're going to be able to make it. Because this old world's not a friend of grace." But Dr. H.C. Morrison, that eminent preacher, and I close with this, some years ago went around the world in the interest of the kingdom of God. The President of the United States went around the world at the same time in the interest of better foreign relations. Dr. Morrison came home on the same ocean liner that the President of the United States came home on. When they pulled into harbor at New York City, they notified the passengers that everybody would have to stay back until the presidential party disembarked. Dr. Morrison said, "When I looked out to the harbor at New York, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that had gathered there to welcome the president home." He said the bands were playing, the bunting was out, the flags were waving in the breeze. What a welcome. And he said after the presidential party disembarked, they told the other passengers they could go. And he said, "I walked down the gangplank and not one soul greeted me." He said, "I got a taxi and went to the railroad station, boarded a little train for Wilmore, Kentucky." And he said the train pulled into the station at Wilmore, not one soul greeted me. And he said, "I picked up my little makeshift suitcase and started up the street. And the devil said, 'Henry, is it worth it? The president went around the world in the interest of foreign relations. Look what kind of welcome he got when he got home. You went around the world in the interest of the kingdom of God. Nobody here to welcome you home.'" And he said, "For a moment I was almost in the throes of despair when the Holy Spirit said, 'Henry, tell the devil that you're not home yet. that you just stopped off at Wilmore on the way. Because when you get home, I'll have the patriarchs to meet you. And the hallelujah chorus will sing for you. And the angelic band will play Amazing Grace for you. There'll be a welcome such as you've never known before when you get home. I'm so glad, beloved, this morning that one day he commanded the porter to watch.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.